Chapter 23. No Relent. Ultramar. Illyrium burned. The ruin of towns and cities belched forth a pall of smoke and ash, swathing the mountains with permanent gloom. The glow of Phosphex pyres added a hellish tinge to the twilight, painting the dark clouds with incandescent fury. As the winter blizzards worsened, it snowed black on the lower slopes. In the highlands, the Dreadwing raised the trees of the Silver Altum, unleashing thousands of defoliant shells and missiles to turn hundreds of square kilometers of pristine forest to putrefying swamp. Over the past few weeks, many thousands of Illyrians had been forced out of their homes by the advance of Redlos and his warriors, herded to the massive internment camps growing in the foothills bordering the neighboring regions. While the Deathwing guarded Macragge Civitas and the Dreadwing brought destruction to Illyrium, the rest of the Lion's Sons patrolled the encampments, quelling all dissent, rooting out the demagogues and terrorists that tried to slip away from the onslaught. By the direct order of the Lion, summary executions were carried out against any found to possess a weapon. Criminal gangs had already started to infiltrate the camps, those with the means to move and conceal weapons able to threaten those that could not. Though supplies were regularly dispensed by columns from the south, many shipments were smuggled away as soon as they entered the camps, either stolen outright or siphoned back to the remaining resistance army by sympathizers. After 23 days of unrelenting assault, Redlos had depopulated nearly 2/3 of Illyrium. He was keenly aware that the war against the rebels had barely begun. The mountain strongholds and extensive cave systems of the highlands more than enough to shelter tens of thousands of foes. On receiving the pessimistic assessments of the Dreadwing's commander, the Lion left Macragge Civitas to intervene personally in the offensive. It was highly unorthodox for the Primarch to interfere once one of the wings had been deployed, but in practical terms, there was nothing Farith Redlos could do but accept the presence of his genefather with good grace. The Lion took over Redlos's command post in the remnants of Anditrium and the lower slopes of the Alma Mons. Also known as the Gate Peak, Alma Mons was the key to taking the highlands. From its upper ridges and slopes, the Dark Angels would be able to advance into the inner valleys beneath a storm of long-range firepower. Before the shattered walls of Anditrium's old Senate House, the Dark Angels erected a marcher keep, a facsimile of Alderuk, 10 stories high, festooned with communication systems, scanning arrays, and devastating weaponry. It dominated the ragged skyline of Anditrium, as much a testament to the Dark Angels' intent as a military necessity. On the upper level, the Lion held his headquarters, recreating his audience chamber from the Invincible Reason, including bringing his ebon throne down from orbit. From this lofty hall, he analyzed every piece of incoming intelligence and plotted the next stages of the suppression with the precision of a watchmaker. There was not a land speeder patrol, nor supply column, nor squad advance that was not ordered by the Primarch.
"Nobody has ever gone up there, my liege,"
Redlos told the Lion when he was summoned to council. He had taken with him Danaeus and a few others of the Dreadwing leadership, but it was not their place to speak. He was the voted lieutenant. He was the voice of the Dreadwing.
"Even the relative handful of ultramarines from Illyrium are lowlanders, considered traitors by their mountain cousins. Orbital surveillance is patchy at best, and the storms are too much of a risk to gunships. I'm sure if we had brought more of the Raven Wing with us, we could spy out their holes and nooks, but with the resources to hand..."
"We knew that it would come to this," said the Lion. "From the outset, the Alma Mons would be their stronghold.
More than 100 kilometers of caves and tunnels, fortified since old night, held by several thousand dedicated rebels."
Redlos scratched his chin.
"Do we think Kurz is in there? If he isn't, I'd rather leave the Illyrians there to rot. If we could use orbital weapons, I would crack the mountain open and have done with it. Could you perhaps approach the Emperor again, my liege?"
The Lion scowled at such honest but negative talk. Redlos ploughed on, emboldened by the knowledge that his Primarch had brought him and the Dreadwing to Imperium Secundus to use their expertise and listen to his perspective.
From the orders of the Imperator Regis himself, our mission is to eliminate the Night Haunter, my liege, not end the Illyrian uprising.
Redlos gestured for Danaeus to approach with a handheld hololith. The Dreadwing officer placed it on the floor of the hall, and a three-dimensional render of the gate peak sprang into red and orange life before the throne. Flashing runes highlighted detected fortifications, more than 20 of them, while bright green ribbons delineated the accessible routes onto the higher slopes.
"The harder we fight, the more resistance we create, my liege," Redlos continued. 100 a day. 500 a day, it's impossible to tell how many sympathizers our occupation is creating.
Sympathizers, the lion said heavily, not fighters.
Not many of them, no, my liege, but we fight the mountain as much as the men, and while outsiders sustain them, they will hold.
And you would prefer not to fight the mountain, said the lion.
He leaned forward, one elbow on his knee, chin on fist as he stared at the slowly rotating display.
Exactly, my liege. If we are to assume Kurz is masterminding the defense, we can expect incessant suicide attacks, ambushes, feints, counterassaults, and an ever-present threat of harassment from the native populace behind us. We will pay a bloody toll for every step up that mountain.
And Kurz will slip away at the last moment, concluded the Primarch.
That is my worry, Lord Protector, said Redlos. Even at best estimates, we would lose hundreds of legionaries without any guarantee of achieving our mission.
I assume that you did not come to me simply with concerns and worries, the lion said.
He sat back, eyebrows raised.
Proposals? Plans? We are death.
Redlos signaled Danaeus, who activated the next stage of the hololithic presentation. A cloud of tiny blue light seemed to drift down onto the mountain like snow, settling in cyan swathes. It was followed by several pinpoints of white, and the mountains were lit from within by a pale yellow glow.
We can set up a picket across all of the major lines of access and escape, and use orbital seeded death winds, vortex detonators, and guardian minefields to cut off any other exit.
Can you ensure that the encirclement will be complete?
If we use the resources of the whole fleet, and a few hundred Deathstorm pods I happen to know the Ultramarines possess, supplemented by gunship-dropped motion-activated cluster ordnance, tarantula and rapier batteries. In the lower reaches, we can conduct land speeder and thunderhawk interdictions too.
We seal the Alma Mons, letting nothing in or out. A sterile battlefield.
Yes, my liege. We bring in the two dreadhammers being carried on the Forgivable Aggression, along with the 84 void shells we can muster. The dreadhammers lead the advance, punching a hole in whatever stronghold we encounter. We then deploy the Cestus assault rams into the breaches.
This seems like a lot of work simply to pave the way for an aerial infantry assault.
Redlos smiled.
If the assault rams were carrying legionaries, my liege, I would agree. We can bring together 48 Cestus in total and pack each one with rad bombs and phosphex shells.
You are turning manned missiles back into torpedoes?
Piloted bombs, my liege. Not forbidden by Lord Sanguinius's ruling. We also have enough rad missiles and promethium to turn 300 drop pods into guided ordnance.
Drop pods must be deployed from orbit, little brother. The Imperator Regis forbid attack from orbit.
Redlos looked at his companions and then back to his Primarch.
Most will be servitor-piloted drones. There are several dozen heavily wounded brothers of the Dreadwing that would be happy to give their last effort to the cause in this manner. We can slave the other systems to the legionary-guided craft. To everyone else, it will look like an infantry drop, my liege.
He took a step closer and dropped his voice to a whisper.
We won't tell Gilliman if you won't, Lord Protector.
The lion considered the proposal in silence for several minutes, his gaze moving from Redlos to the hololith, to the other members of the Dreadwing, and back to the display.
long-term environmental effects?
Phosphex and rad pollution will render central Illyrium completely uninhabitable for about 600 to 800 years. Redlos kept his tone impassive, but secretly the thought of rendering such devastation gave him a thrill.
If such concerns are a factor, I submit that Holguin and his warriors might be better suited to the task.
He thought that he had gone too far at that moment, an instant of flippancy that might be taken as arrogance, assumption even. The lion's eyes narrowed, and Redlos prepared himself for the inevitable rebuke.
None of this guarantees the death of Kurz, said the Primarch.
Redlos deflated, the Primarch's words robbing him of any triumph.
There are no guarantees, my liege,
he heard himself say before he could stop. The lion stood up and approached the hololith, oblivious to Fareth's platitudes. Redlos wondered at the thought processes turning in his master's mind at that time. What labyrinthine possibilities did they explore?
It is a good plan, said the lion, sending a surge of relief and excitement through Redlos.
It was almost unnatural how much he delighted in the praise of his Primarch, even after so many years of service.
However, it needs one small adjustment.
My liege?
It shall be as it was on the Invincible Reason. When you have cleansed the gate peak, withdraw and seal the mountain tight.
The lion closed a fist, his gaze distant.
Then I shall hunt.